Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Could we together put our hands for King Jesus? Come on, every hand, honor the one who's worthy of all honor. Worthy of all honor, magnificent Jesus. Every eye on Jesus forever. Whatever season you're facing, I'm telling you, whether individually or collectively, every eye on Jesus forever. Fix entire attention on nothing else. Mute button on everything else. Hear the voice of the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen. I want to speak to us today. I'm going to dive straight into the Word of God, if that's okay. I want to speak to us today from the thought of difficult roads and beautiful destinations. Difficult roads and beautiful destinations. If you've been a Christian for a little while, you'd realize that the Christian journey is not a bed of roses. The Christian journey has mountaintops and valleys low, and the Lord has not promised us any differently. Let's not be delusional. Prosperity in the Lord does not mean no difficulty in the Lord. To prosper in our soul and to prosper in our life with God does not mean that we don't face adversity and we don't face situations that challenge us and challenge our faith, etc., etc. It doesn't mean that. As a matter of fact, in the book of John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said that in the world you will have tribulation. How's that for a promise? Who wants to claim that one? In the world, you will have tribulation. Jesus did not deceive us. Jesus told us that there are going to be times that are difficult. Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us exactly the same thing. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. What the apostle is teaching is, don't think for a moment that if you're coming under heat personally or collectively that you're out of the will of God. Sometimes you could be right in the center of the will of God, and I'm telling you, your situation is miserable. Don't become a judge of whether you're in the will of God or the favor of God is upon you by external circumstances. The truth is, in our current scenario, and what I mean by that, in the Western world in 2024, we've become judges of God's faithfulness through external provision. If the Lord doesn't give me a car park, I get my nose out of joint and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Dipping your Tim Tam in milk and it drops off and it's like, Lord, why has your favor turned from me? We got to get a little bit more substance than that. We got a little bit more revelation than that. Because I'll tell you what, here's the most important thing that you need to know right at the outset of our conversation. If you don't know how to process pain through a revelation of truth, pain will run your life. Do you know how many Christians, do you know how many churches are functioning in dysfunction because they never processed pain properly? God doesn't want that for your life and my life. That's why we need to talk today about difficult roads but beautiful destinations, to help so that the Holy Spirit can help us process, navigate different challenges that we all face individually and collectively. I want to speak to us today from the life of Joseph. It's in the book of Genesis chapter 37 all the way to 50. So because it will be for the next hour reading scripture, I won't do that. I just want to retell the story of Joseph. Then we're going to intersect with one of the key verses and then we'll go from there. So the story of Joseph, if you haven't heard it, so he's a young man. He is born to Jacob. He is one of 12. He's the 11th son of Jacob. He's particularly favored by his father. His father kind of likes him a little bit more than the other brothers. Oh, I have to keep my eyes away from my kids when I talk about this, so, because they're always asking who's your favorite. But anyway, 11th son, and his father gives him this coat a beautiful coat because he really loved him. He found him to be special. And I think his father realized that there's a distinct beauty about this boy, not external, but there's a distinct call on his life that was going to be profound. And that was all over him. By the way, if you are a parent, call that out of your kids. Hello. That was for free, but take it. Take it. See things in your kids that nobody else sees. Call them out. Okay, so he does that, but unfortunately Jojo is a little bit of a sanguine and he's really kind of like happy with what's going on. So he begins to tell his brothers all sorts of things, including prophetic dreams that he was having. He was having prophetic dreams that he was going to rule over his household, rule over even cities and nations. And guess what? The brothers get really, really angry with him and they say, okay, we've had enough of this dude. He's really getting up our nose. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to kill him. But one brother intervenes. As a matter of fact, I want to say that it wasn't one brother. I want to say that it was the intervention of God. God knows how to save you at precisely the right moment when he needs to. Have you ever realized that God is the best manager of crisis? Boom, at the right time, sends intervention. Like the Lord says in the book of Zephaniah, I will intervene for my people. Right at the right time, he sends an arrow that deviates the plot. So instead of him being killed, he is now sold as a slave in Egypt. He is sold to a notable official by the name of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar loves Joseph and he's in his house and so forth, but Mrs. Potiphar has other plans for Joseph's olive-skinned flesh. Give me a wave if you're under 18 here, and I just anybody under 18? Oh, okay, one. All right, we'll keep it PG. All right, okay, all right, two. We'll keep it PG. Long and short of that, he's like, no, I'm not going to do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord. My master's given me everything in the house except his wife. I'm not going to do that. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 39, because you can do that once, but imagine doing that every day, that day by day, she did this with him. But Joseph was like, no, I'm not going to do this. So she flips it on its head and manipulates it and says that he tried to rape me. Now, and he gets thrown into prison. I really don't know about you, but every time I read that piece of scripture, I'm thinking, if I did that, if I withstood that kind of test and again and again and it kept coming at me and I've got no accountability. As a matter of fact, I've got no accountability. I'm in a foreign land. I'm all on my own. I'm a young man. I've got hormones running through my body. You know, if I've withstood, I would expect the Lord to send Archangel Michael with a bouquet of flowers and to say, thank you, Joe, because you were really faithful. Anybody else with me or is it just me? Genuinely, I'll be kind of joining the dots. I did this for God, therefore God's going to do this for me. How many times do we do that? Instead, he finds himself in prison. And he's in prison now for 2 years. And during those 2 years, he meets Pharaoh's butler and baker, who are also thrown in prison, has a conversation with them, interprets their dreams. Their dreams come to pass, but his dream is still intact. The dream that God gave him now 13 years ago, it's still in his heart. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's really hurtful when everybody else's dreams is coming to fruition, but your dream's still buried. And Joseph finds himself right there. And the butler is totally forgotten about him. But one day, just one day, boom, the suddenly of God. See, the Lord, I want to tell us right at the outset, in Isaiah 60, 22, the Lord says, I will hasten it in its time. God goes slow, then suddenly. That's kind of how it works. Every promise from God over your life is a scheduled appointment. Every promise over Pneuma Church is a scheduled appointment. It looks like it's kind of like going slow, then there's a suddenly, according to Isaiah 60, 22. So suddenly what happens is, Pharaoh has a disturbing dream, and then the butler remembers 2 years later, hey, there's a bloke by the name of Joseph who actually interprets dreams. He comes before Pharaoh, he interprets the dream, and the Lord lifts him from the prison to the palace in a single day and makes him the number one ruler under Pharaoh, which was the superior kingdom across all of the earth, the kingdom of Egypt back then. So he becomes the most powerful man in all of the world under Pharaoh in a single stroke of genius by God. But now we're going to reach another climax in this story. The brothers, because of the famine, the family of Israel have now come to Egypt because they need food, and only Egypt has food. The whole world's coming to Egypt, and God has entrusted Joseph to be the steward to save lives all over the world. And through a divine strategy, he does that. Now, let's open up to the book of Genesis chapter 50. Have a look at this. Book of Genesis chapter 50 from verse 19. Brothers come to him, so he says, do not be afraid. They knew he can nuke them. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? As for you, now please get this in your spirit. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You meant evil, but God meant it for good. In order, there's an order. In order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Pneuma Church, I want to tell us, the Holy Spirit knows how to fit a crisis into a divine plan. Please get that in your spirit. The Spirit of God knows how to fit a crisis into a divine plan. Whether in your life or whether in our life collectively, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to weave all things to work together for good to those who love God. That's not cliche, that is a truth from heaven. Romans 8:28 is a truth from heaven, that God knows how to work all things together for the good of those who love God. You say, God, but the situation in my life is not good. Uh-huh, but God will use it for good. It wasn't good for Joe to go to prison, but God used it for his elevation and used it for the salvation of the world. That's the tapestry of God. Don't ever judge your life. Don't ever judge a church. Don't ever judge anything by a season. We never judge a tree by one season, true? How could you judge? It's God working everything together there's a divine orchestration of circumstances. Satan is not in control. The frailty of humanity is not in control. God alone is sovereign. As a matter of fact, the word providence, the providence of God, because the providence of God is over every frail of man, is over every plot of the enemy in your life and in our life. The word providence comes from the word providentia in Latin. It's providentia. Pro means beforehand, something before, something that precedes, comes before. Videntia means to see. What that means is God sees everything that is happening in your life way before it happens. God sees everything that is happening in the church way before it happens. I want to tell you, God is not improvising a plan. There's no improvisation. The Lord who declared the end from the beginning knows every step of the way. He's the Alpha and Omega and everything in between. Don't get disturbed at any step in your journey, in your life, in our journey, that looks like a hiccup. You know why? Because he's Lord of all. Providentia. The Lord sees, and the Lord is in total control. We mustn't think, honestly, we mustn't think that as we continue to journey, Pneuma Church, that we're just going to have one hiccup along the way or one bump along the way. Can I be really honest with you? If we're going to do this journey right with God, and if we're going to go with God, we're going to face everything in our journey. But who's willing to trust Christ not only with the intended end, but with every detail? I trust Jesus, not only with what he's going to do ultimately, not only with a destination, but with a detail. He knows what he's doing, because have you realized that God's ways are not straightforward? God knows how to draw a straight line with a crooked stick. I don't know how he does it, but that's God. We're not talking about the wisdom or the counsel of a human. We're not talking about the intelligence of a team. We are talking about the eternal, everlasting, ancient of days, who has all wisdom beyond our understanding that we could never do to fathom. All we can do is trust him, knowing that every step of the way, he is Lord. And I thank Jesus, because guess what? The Bible tells me that he is the chief shepherd of the sheep. That from the days of Calvary, right till this very day, and on to everlasting, there is one chief shepherd of the sheep, and his name is Jesus. And guess what? I am told he will never leave you nor forsake you. Both on a personal level and a collective level, why does the church go powering on? Because Jesus is the head. Why do demons tremble? Because Jesus is the head. Why does the church break out in the glory of God? Because Jesus is the head. That's why. Because our hope is in Jesus. Our trust is in Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Hello. And if God is with us, then who could be against us? That's not Christian cliche. That is the substance of our life. That is who we are. I want to tell us that every dark night in your personal life, in our collective life, when it looks like it's really bad, 100%, you follow scripture. You will see the ways of God, because, hey, his methods change, but his ways don't. The ways of God are unchanging. Every dark night is always followed by glory. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Pain may endure for a night, but glory follows it. Friday, then all of a sudden, there's Resurrection Sunday. Every dark night, it's the ways of God. It's just simply the ways of God. And I want to tell you to look at things that are both happening in your life and in our life. There's two ways to look at every story, every biography. Your biography, my biography, our church's biography has two parallel stories running. One of them is the humanistic view, the other is the divine view. The humanistic view of a story is totally dependent on what humans did do and what human action, all of that. That's the humanistic view. You know what the divine view looks at? The divine view looks at that whole weaving of God. Have you noticed that God wins major battles through unusual ways? Totally different way of viewing. If you have a look at the story of Joseph, it doesn't make sense. How does it make sense? Please, somebody tell me, how does it make sense? When you have a look at the humanistic view, he got betrayed by the most significant others that should have loved him. How does it make sense that he has the reputation of a rapist? How does it make sense that a prophetic promise over his life that he's going to be a ruler, a man who will save many, how does it make sense that he's found in prison? I mean, honestly, how does it make sense? But that's the humanistic view. But I want to tell you something. See, this is where Satan sometimes thinks that he's literally burying Joseph. Satan thought, I'm going to bury him. Because Satan can tell This guy's got a destiny on his life. Satan heard the prophetic dreams that were over in his life and he was terrified. So he said, I'm going to take him out. So what he did, he literally set up demonic forces around him to take him out and thought when he had him in prison, delayed 13 years, he took him out. He thought he was burying him. But guess what God was doing? God was planting him. What could have looked like complete death, the Lord was planting him in Egypt for a complete resurrection that was going to bring fruit, that was going to save people all over the world. Satan thought he was burying, but the Lord was planting. Can I just say, Pneuma Church, over every single one of us and over us as a church, no matter what Satan has done, he thinks he's burying, but you watch. The Lord has planted. You can give the Lord a hand. Don't be shy to honor Jesus, who transcends all of his enemies. The Lord laughs at his enemies. That's what the psalmist says, that the Lord laughs at his enemies. God will not be outwitted. God will not be subdued by a plan. God has spoken prophetically over Pneuma Church. This house shall be a house of glory. This house shall raise up sons and daughters, send them all over the world. This house is a container of revival. And I tell you, at the corporate level, as well as at the individual level, the Lord's got your number. The Lord's got your number. Nothing is coming off the mantle on this house, nor the people in this house, nor the individuals in this house, nor the families in this house, because the Lord, not a leadership team, not motivational speaker, the Lord has spoken. And who can reverse it? Nobody can. Nobody can. When you have a look at the divine view, don't be afraid of any imminent challenge. Up here, there is one who manages every day. The days, like it says in Psalm 139, are fashioned for me. Every single day, precise lordship of Jesus Christ coming over your day today, your day tomorrow, your day the day after, precise lordship. The Lord says in the book of Isaiah, I watch over it, I water it every moment. Whoa! Oh, that gets me. You know why God doesn't have something general for your life? He's talking about moment by moment precision for the church. Don't we let Satan have one more lie over Pneuma. The church goes in power. The church goes by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The truth of God cuts through all, and that is the truth of God. The divine view over your life, the divine view over Pneuma has not, will not change. No human could ever reverse that. You know, Book of Job fascinates me because if you have a look at it from the humanistic view, it is the most catastrophic piece of literature in the Bible, where a man in a single day loses 10 kids. Imagine that. If you're a parent, just imagine that with me. Imagine you got all of your kids in a single day are lost. Imagine you're a business owner here with me. Just imagine, and everything you've worked so hard for all of your life, but in a single day, in the permissive will of God, Satan takes out your whole life's work. Imagine in a single day, your body starts, it has boils and affliction, and you're a man of health or a woman of health, but now you are sick to the core. Imagine in a single day, your spouse who is with you, you've been walking together and journeying in God, and your spouse says to you, curse God and die. Whoa. Mrs. Job. She gave him 3 rings. Engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffer ring. Like, I mean, Mrs. Job. Chill, babe. But imagine that. Just please imagine that, because these are not stories. This is real life. But have a look at this. Open up with me to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 5. We're going to read one verse, verse 11. James the Apostle says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about, that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Can you see that? And in that translation, which is the New King James, strongly recommended to everyone, but you know, that translation, it says you have seen the Lord's intended end. The Lord's intended end. That, yes, God allowed. You know what happened in the intended end? All of Job's losses were recovered twice over. He gave him double for his trouble. Like literally double. You know, in God's economy, the divine view, that was an upgrade. He gave him an upgrade of everything he had. That was from God's point of view. And that's why I really want to commit to us today that God knows how to win wars in unusual ways. Please, God knows how to win wars in unusual ways. When Gideon has against him the Midianites and the Amalekites, and the Bible says in the book of Judges chapter 7 that they were more in number than the sand on the seashore, you'd think God would say to Gideon, hey, raise an army, rally everyone in Judah, everyone in Israel. You know what the Lord says to him in the book of Judges chapter 7? He says to him, the people that you've got are too much. Reduce them. Yeah. What? Yeah, reduce them. He reduces them. He says, reduce them some more. He brings them down to 300 people. And then he tells Gideon straight in his face, hear this, because this is actually important for Numa. He tells Gideon straight in his face, I don't want many numbers, because then you're going to claim that your arm has saved you. But when you are reduced to nothing, you will know that it's the Lord. Could we talk? Could we talk for a minute? You know what needs to happen? We need to get really humble. We are not eating a bit and a side of chips. Is that okay? We're not. But we are serious about the magnificence of Jesus. We are serious about his adoration. We are serious about glorifying his blessed name. We are serious about loving him. Not marginally, but with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strengths. We are serious about giving our entire life to him. We ain't no better than anyone. But I want to tell you, no matter what happens, the hand of the Lord is on this church with power. And that's what Gideon found. Gideon found that when I am weak, then I am strong. Gideon found that, you know, when I'm humbled before the Lord and I'm postured before the Lord so that the Lord can have all the glory, the Lord can have all the honor, guess what? He does. And open up with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Have a look at this. Book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Have a look at verse 15. Thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who what has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I really feel like what the Lord is saying there is that if the church is to ascend, Numa Church, is to ascend to the intended height that I need to take it to, it will have to first descend into the valley of humility. Because God exalts the humble, but God resists the proud. You know the difference in your life and in my life and in our church right across between God's resistance or assistance is only dependent on pride or humility. It's the only difference. Do you know if we are a humble people, you know what that looks like? We are true in our sincerity to God. We only want to glorify only one name. It's not the name of Numa Church. It's not the name of anything else. One name that is precious on all of our lips, all of our lives. One name that we all live for, the name of Jesus. We live to glorify His name. We live to bless His heart. We live to serve His magnificence. We live in intimacy with the Lord. We live to love Him. You know, if we are all centered, can I recommend to us, let's not go after revival. Let's go after Jesus. Yeah. And I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that you cannot bump into Jesus and He is crowned as all in all and not have revival. But revival is not what we're pursuing. Jesus is what we're pursuing. And Jesus will have the preeminence, and Jesus will have all the glory, and Jesus will win the cities, and Jesus will be known, and Jesus will be made famous, and Jesus will be adored, and Jesus will be loved by the church. To Him belongs glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. No other name, no other name, no other name, no other name. Our achievement is singular. It's not about how much we do. It's about being a people of God that honor King Jesus. Our achievement is singular. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Are we in for this? That the Lord may be all in all. Jesus, 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 the beginning and the end. Jesus. Jesus, the adoration of our hearts, Jesus. Whether the worship song is going well or not going well, press into Jesus, love Jesus, adore Jesus. Whether it's flat or hype, who cares? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, this is the church of Jesus. And it needs to be under one united motivation. To see Him crowned and honored. May that be not today, every day, every time we gather church, every time we gather, listen. Don't focus on healings. Healings will come because Jesus is a healer. But don't focus on Jesus. Honor Jesus. Give glory to Jesus. Worship Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. And watch what Jesus does. I don't really know what I'm preaching. That's quite different to the 9 o'clock, isn't it? But we'll go with it. Okay. I want to tell us that difficulties are never going to destroy us. They're going to develop us. You know, when Joseph would have a look at what he'd been through, he could have felt like, I'm abandoned by God. I'm a crushed man and got in a fetal position. You know, some of us may be tempted to do that right now in this season. Feel like, okay, I've been shattered. My heart's been shattered. Maybe my dreams have been shattered. But I think in hindsight, because who knows that hindsight gives insight. I think in hindsight, Joseph looked back and then he realized actually what God was doing, not according to the humanistic view, but in the divine view. He realized that when his brothers totally forsook him and betrayed him, which is so agonizing to the human heart to have those closest to you that should be your safety to actually be the ones who harm you most. He realized that in that place of deep pain, God was doing a deep work. Who knows that sometimes character comes through deep pain and not just attending a conference. So he realized, you know what, God, it was during that time that you reached into my heart. And when you reached into my heart, I realized that no matter who leaves me, no matter who forsakes me, I'm so loved and you are so present. And you gave me a spine of steel. Oh God, it happened. Oh God, it hurt. But oh God, it helped. He realized that when he was thrown into prison and betrayed and brought into total disrepute as a rapist, He realized that God reached his hand into his heart and fashioned something in him that couldn't have been otherwise fashioned. He realized that God fashioned in him a freedom from the approval of any human, a freedom from the accolades of anyone around him, that he wasn't going to get it through reading a book. He was going to get it going through what he went through, that now he would live to the audience of one. He would say, who cares what people think about me? Who cares what their opinion is? Who cares? Have you realized that the best of us are fickle? One day we think this, the next day we say that. Have you noticed? Oh, come on, Numa Church. Yeah. He realized, I'm not going to live for the approval of anyone. I'm not going to live so anybody can pat me on the back. I'm not going to live for the accolades of anyone. I am going to live for the approval of one, the audience of one, Jesus Christ. As long as the Lord has a smile on your life, put up with 10,000 frowns. Who cares? Who cares? What matters is what he knows about me, what he knows about the church. That's what matters. That's really what matters. So guess what? In all of this, God was not destroying Joseph. God was preparing Joseph for what is about to come. Okay, now you're getting it. Because God is preparing us for what is about to come. Let me bring it a little bit closer to home. I was sharing last Sunday night with our church how the palm tree, God has made the palm tree. The palm tree doesn't snap. The palm tree bends all the way down, all the way to the ground, and can actually, in a hurricane, stay bent under huge stress for several hours, all the way down to the ground. And the hurricane, like I said, could last several hours, but once it's over, the palm tree gets back up again. Now, biologists have said that palm trees that have been through hurricanes, because of the stresses that they have gone through, their root system is strengthened because they have to latch on. And therefore, the stresses bring new opportunities for growth. And after the hurricane, those palm trees that have been in a hurricane end up being much bigger, much more fruitful, and experience a whole other level of growth that those palm trees that haven't been in a hurricane don't experience. And guess what? Psalm 92, 1 verse 12 says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. So let me put it to you this way. You, me, we could have... God, I'm going to snap. God, that's it. I can't. We can't. God, no, you're kidding. And I have to stop this illustration because my quads are burning. I need to get to the gym. Jesus. Can you be encouraging? Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I don't want to show my quads. There. We're right there. God, that's too much pressure. God, we're going to break it 100 pieces. God, we can't take it. God, that's not your purpose. Then the hurricane ends. And the wind of God comes upon the church. And that palm tree that was so stressed buds and is so fruitful and is so powerful that many birds from all over the place come and nest under it, and its fruits are greater than ever and bigger than ever, not for itself but for others and to the glory of God. And then that palm tree could say, Lord, thank you. Had there not been the hurricane, we could never be blessed to be a blessing. We could never give glory to your name. The hurricane will testify, even the hurricane will testify to your goodness. And that's what the Lord is doing with Numa Church, even right now. No matter what winds come against your life, no matter what winds come against the church, the Lord of the wind the Lord of the wind, he knows exactly when to intervene, to say, silent, be still to the wind. And then he can blow another wind upon the church that will make the church all that it is in his heart, because he's Lord of all. I want to let you know, afflictions will not destroy your life. They will develop your life. That which has come against will only grow us. Our aim is not to be famous, but to be Christ-like. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.